time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So this one on this thing called a chain fountain. So you throw a chain, okay, and the idea is that it creates more energy on one side because gravity is pushing the chain down, the longer chain, and the longer size ends up having a little bit more velocity than this side would have if, let's say, you were this side is being thrown into the gravity with the same energy that this side has to be going down. So you can sort of understand, like, a chain would be going down, and this one's longer, so it's had more time to be in the gravity. The gravity is giving it more acceleration. All the little bits are tied to each other, so there's all kinds of friction and all kinds of crap, all kinds of losses between them. So it's not falling as much as it would fall if it was free falling. It's not falling at the same velocity. And the other side has to be moving. The little bits have to move as fast as the other side, right? I mean, it's a chain, so they have to go as fast as the other side is going. So they're kind of obviously going to be launched. You know, they have to be launched with a velocity from the surface that's going to be higher than the distance the other side fell. You can sort of understand it, because it's got to gain more velocity. So if you tried to lift it, if you tried to shoot it, you'd use a certain amount of energy to get it to a certain height. But it's technically got to go more than that, because technically the other side's going faster than the launching speed it would take to launch the object to that height. Let's see, is there any way to say it? Anyway, and so there's a point where the two forces equalize, like the inefficiency, you're gaining less and less on the other side because it's sort of reached its terminal velocity, its new terminal velocity. That is, the new terminal velocity of the sense that it still has to pull chain. It's got to do things, it's got to do work that are slowing it down from falling. And there'll be a point where those two forces will be equal, in the sense that you've given it the little bits enough velocity to equal the other side that's falling further. Yes, and so there's a certain height where it's not going to get any higher. This video sort of shows it. All right, so anyway, so there's a controversy between Steve Mould and Electric Boom. Electric Boom, I think, is just arguing, as I would argue, that it's all just a positive force. That is, the momentum of one side is creating momentum on the other side. There has to be an equal amount of force being applied to the ones going this way. I mean, the ones leaving. See, this is a flat surface, so you'd say, well, why don't they just move flat? And the answer to that question is the real complexity, the issue that's being argued over. Is whether it's necessary to have some sort of, not whether it's necessary, whether what's creating the fountain is a pushback force. That is, the chain is pushing against the surface and to rise. And that, I would argue, is partially true, but it's not completely true. It's not the only reason why the chain has to compensate for the fact that it can't move as fast as the other side is moving. It can move as fast. It has to move as fast. That's the whole point. And the only way it can move as fast is it has to change the path it moves, I would argue. All right, so I'll draw some of this stuff. See, it's already gotten more complicated than I wanted it to get. But anyway, it's complicated, so that's the whole point, right? It looks simple. It looks like, well, it's just a chain flying through the air. What's the big deal? Should be a simple answer. So anyway, these two guys have bet over this thing, and I don't think either one is completely 100% right, so I guess that's the issue. And I'm just going to add my own 2 cents. So this guy, Preston Becker, they did a video, kind of, you know, they probably, these big guys should link to these videos, just, you know, because people do a lot of work. They did a lot of work to make this video, and haven't gotten much reward for it. Not that 1,200 views isn't something, but it's not nearly what it deserves, let's say, for the work. I don't know if I necessarily think all the extra stuff in it, the humor, is necessary, but whatever. People have to be entertained. All right, so obviously they do all this slow motion stuff, which is really good. You can see how things are moving. Lots of different angles to argue about how the, you know, the bend radius is causing this. This is the, it's basically a leverage argument. And I would argue that what you can understand from just reality is why you need a surface. The surface isn't providing any extra energy. It's just reducing the amount of energy you're losing in the direction you want, okay? The direction that creates the most efficient path, which is a path where there is no friction. So that's another simple argument, is that nature usually finds the simple solution. That is, the winner is going to be the method of absorbing your velocity that turns as much of it into this non-friction path of going through the air rather than dragging across the surface. So all the little bits that tend to go in the air are going to tend to have more influence over the path than the bits that drag across the ground. You could argue that would be kind of obvious. And that their influence is going to tend to force all the other bits to comply. It's like a democracy. If most of the bits that do this with more energy go up, then the more energy guys are going to decide for the low energy guys that up is the way to go. I don't wish to imply the chain has any brain. I just mean that that's the system usually has all kinds of influences, feedback, where the end result, because all of these elements are tied to each other, will be that the stuff that does it one way is going to overpower the stuff that does it the less efficient way. So the argument I'm making. All right, so let's just play this clip and then we'll just draw some crap and call it a day. So I'm not saying I have a definitive answer. I'm just saying that the one guy is arguing that it's a Newton of force, and that it's, so the Steve Mole guy is basically saying the chain pushes and the pushing force is what's, you know, the reaction force is what's pushing the chain up. But that isn't true. I mean, all of the motion in the upward direction isn't being created by the pushing force. It's being pushed, pulled. It's being the pulling force, the force that's forcing the chain to move, the motion in the direction of away from where it is. See, I mean, you could just argue it's giving velocity. It can give velocity in this direction, or it can give velocity in this direction. Well, once it gets into the air, this doesn't matter much. And it really just has to do with the velocity that you're pulling the chain. So if you're pulling the chain faster, it has to make a bigger path to equalize, you know, the other path. It can't go faster. So, I mean, it's stuck going, it's going a shorter distance. It has to go a higher speed, see? So it has to make the path longer or the two things couldn't add up. All right. So that's why the chain grows until it reaches a certain height where the two forces balance, because you've negated the extra velocity with the extra height. All right. The extra path. The path going up has to kind of equalize the path going down, and the path going down is longer and faster. So, I don't know. Coming up with best ways to describe this is not that easy. Hold on a second. All right, I'm back. So yeah, let's play the video.
Between the beads and the board.
Oh.
As you can imagine,
that didn't
the results left me devastated.
That didn't work.
If Manny was wrong on this, what else could he be trusted on?
So this is the humor part.
Is the human eyeball really only 20 kiloohms? Is it?
Right, let's go back here. There we go.
And if you lay the chain out in a straight line and pull on it, a small fountain starts at the 90-degree bend, but it does not move backwards and create a larger fountain. Perhaps surface roughness was causing the fountain? But no, running the experiment on a large piece of glass gave the same results. Therefore, I was left with only one conclusion. The chain was being forced upwards by an extra reaction force.
Right, but the force that's forcing it, that initiates the going up, isn't necessarily the same force that keeps it pulling up. So that would be the argument. So the Steve Mohl guy is basically saying there's one Newton or three Newtons, whatever, amount of force. And then this guy sort of argues mathematically it's, you know, 0.3 kind of thing. It's a tiny amount of force. So the whole distance it's traveling isn't the force of the reaction force. It's a tiny little force that gets it off the ground. And the velocity takes over from that. So the pulling force up, all right, once it's free, once it's in the right position, you know, once the little bit has lifted, then the pulling force is doing all the work to make the fountain. So all the, I would argue, my contribution to this is the reaction force, as Steve Mohl is calling it, is just tipping it. The force that actually is lifting it is still the momentum of the other side that it has to equalize. So it's still the, you could say it's being pulled up by the opposite force of the other side falling down. Obviously there's the pulling up force. The pulling force is the, you know, even though there's no pull, the pull because the little beads are connected with a little rod that's got fat ends that force the beads to go, that one's banging. The banging force on the pushing up on the vessel is the force that's actually doing the work. The reaction force is just doing the direction. So it's like tilting the rocket or tilting the plane and then allowing the plane to reduce its friction with the ground because the plane has taken off this way instead of dragging across the ground. That's how I would explain it. Okay. All right. So anyway, so I didn't think so. There's Steve Mohl's video. Then there's where he says he, all right, so he's made a third video, I guess. And he says, well, here's my conclusive evidence. And it's really not any different than the other videos in terms of any new evidence. So in a sense, I don't think it's very conclusive. Now, in this video, this guy runs it across foil and puts a lot of dents in the foil, which is about the most convincing piece of evidence, I'd say, out of all of them. That's the real winner. Does another one with water and saran wrap, which I don't think is nearly as convincing. So what else? Yeah, the foil is pretty good. But yeah, it's indicating there's a force, but it's not telling you how much force it is. So it's not the entire reason the chain, well, you can't say it's not the reason. Let me say another way. Again, the reaction force is doing the change of its direction. It's creating the direction. It's not creating the motion, the force that actually pulls it into space. The reaction force isn't popping it up. It's just doing this. This is the reaction force. The reaction force is doing this, and then the other force, the normal, what you would expect force, the equal and opposite reaction to the chain going down over here is the chain going up over here. I'm just not, you know, not satisfied that I'm putting this in perfect words. So anyway, some other people have made some videos and you feel kind of bad for them. Like, frankly, I think this is the guy. No, this is a different one. All right, so this one's just a simulation. So obviously what you put into the simulation, you get out of it. So he's taken gravity out and put in some simulation of a popping force. But it's all, you know, it's just manufactured. So I didn't find that terribly interesting. And it's got way too many frickin' ads on.
All right, so a little more.
Kind of a low volume. So anyway, he's got a simulation. So he takes gravity out of the equation, all this stuff. So what's he? So he's got a pulling force down, could be a drill, whatever. And doesn't have any gravity. And he's just using a synthetic, I'll just kind of make it up, force pushing up. So, you know, to me, that's not exactly what you want to be doing. It's not a real simulation. It's a simulation of how the theory could be right, but it doesn't demonstrate it to be right. All right, so this guy felt 6 views. I mean, shit, that sucks. Anyway, so I felt a little bad. But yeah, he didn't really say anything that was incredibly useful, except he got to this rotation part, and this rotation part is the important thing. This the whole idea that you have rotation in what's happening. There's no way for a lot of the energy of the chain. You have to understand, no matter how you do this, even just dropping it, the chain is doing all kinds of things where obviously its motion isn't in one direction. It's got waste in it, lots of it. You know, there's lots of the little pieces grinding on each other, lots of pieces of friction. So lots of the energy is lost in directions that aren't the directions you're watching. You know, they're going up and they're going down. There's lots of other motions, and all of those technically are waste, would be my argument. All right, so that's where I'll chime in. Okay, so I was thinking of it as, so Steve Mould says the word lever, so he's understanding the concept, right, that the little bit is sitting in a position, and it's the other bit is doing, you know, once the fountain starts, I mean, it's just going to follow the leader. So obviously, if you were just to think of it sitting on a surface, it's going to be pulled up here, but it's not going to be able to, can't, you know, it has to rotate in its reality. So it's going to end up using just like you would on the ground. So if you're on the ground and you have to lift something up and you take it by the edge, you're changing its center of gravity, you know, moving it this way. So it's essentially a lever, and the ground is really helping by creating a fulcrum, you know, that's essentially moving towards you as you're lifting, which makes the whole thing really easy to lift. You know, so tipping something up, having the ground, really helps. You know, the ground's your ally in the process, because if you did just lift it up in space, so to speak, this would swing, because it's going to rotate, and then it would swing back, and then it would swing back, and it would be doing a lot of this stuff, where the ground is preventing all that. So now when you pull up, okay, you're going to get this up motion, all right, but you're not going to get any of this, the waste. You're not going to waste any of the motion, because when you push on the ground's going to give you back that energy in the upward direction. That's the direction you want. So you're really winning. So as you pull up, you push into the ground reflects the energy back in the same direction, and you lose all of the wobble. So this would be the preferred way to, you know, this would be the more efficient way, in the sense that more of the energy is saved, where if this is loose and this moves, you know, this the ground moves on you as you're lifting up, well, then you're losing, because now more of the energy is in rotation. So now you're putting the energy into the rotation of the object rather than the energy into the lifting of the object. And clearly, if it's moving down, you're going down instead of going up. So here, everything, all the mass stays above this line when you're lifting on a hard surface. All of the mass is up here, okay, where if the surface is flexible, this end, your mass ends up going further down. So you're losing ground to gravity, in the sense that you're going the wrong way. Part of the mass has now got a lower center of gravity. So now you've got to lift it higher, because it went lower, right? So that's a real problem. So it's more complicated than just saying it's a lever, okay? It's more complicated than just saying this end pushes down and this side pushes up high enough to lift it up here. Well, this force isn't going to lift it up. It's just going to stop it from going down, right? So the restoring force, the force opposing, okay, that's creating some energy up, that force is not nearly as strong as the force that got it up to here. So this, it didn't lift the chain up there. So the reason why the chain's going up there is because of this speed difference. This one's got so much velocity, and this one is going to have that same velocity here at the liftoff point. And essentially, it's too much velocity for this height. Okay, and, you know, for this height, it's you've put too big a firecracker underneath it and shot it with too much velocity for it to just go this high. It has to go higher because you gave it this extra velocity. You jerked it, you know, with enough energy to go this high, not this high, and certainly not, you know, this high. So that's why it keeps going up initially, is because this velocity is increasing and this velocity is higher than the velocity to go this low height. It's more velocity than the distance, and therefore it's going to shoot past that distance. So that's all you're saying. It'll either go this way, way over the edge, or it'll or if you start to go up, you know, if it starts to go up, then this will be the how it deals with the extra velocity, is by going higher. And the higher it goes will be dependent on the fact that this is much more efficient. Tipping up is much more efficient than dragging across the surface. So all the bits that tip up, okay, are going to tend to have more of an energy when they leave than the bits that drag across the surface. So the tipping up ones are going to start winning the battle between these two choices of being dragged or tipping up and flying up this way. And so flying up is going to have more energy than dragging, so the flying up ones are going to win. That's sort of my argument. And just depending on circumstances, the whole thing fluctuates. Obviously, it goes down, and it goes up higher, and then it goes over here, and it goes, you know, it moves around quite a bit because of the fact that that debate between the certain arrangements of each one of the little bits and how much it has to be tipped and how much it has to move to leave is going to be different. So it keeps changing as each little bit is lifted and given its velocity. So the reaction force isn't accounting for the velocity. The velocity is what's the difference between this velocity and the velocity it would require if you gave something this velocity. So you just took one of the little chain bits and you put it on the surface and you gave it the velocity of a chain bit going down, the little bit would go higher, okay? Then it would be more velocity than this distance between the spot where you pulled on it and the spot it ended up at. So the velocity would be greater than the amount of energy it would take to move it from point A to point B. So if the point B is, you know, you're really pulling it across this surface. So it's greater than the friction of pulling the little object. So you're going faster than the amount of friction that would account for your velocity. So you've pushed it harder than the end of the table, so to speak. And so it goes further than the end of the table. And the same principle, once it's airborne, once you get rid of the friction, there's now a real tendency, okay, to say, well, I can go the full distance of my velocity. So the amount of energy in this direction is going to be, you know, how much energy is the pull, the lift force. And that's the one that's the equaling this velocity here. So you're essentially hitting it with a firecracker high enough to get it here. And yes, some of it's getting pulled this way because the chain obviously has a force going this way also, just because of the fact that they're all connected. And so that's just diluting how high it would go. So it goes this instead. But it has to do this extra distance because it has the extra velocity. Yeah, there's no other way to say that, right? So the tendency is going to be for it to travel an extra distance. Whatever way you pull it this, you know, if the initial tug, the stupid little bit is sitting on the ground, it's initially going to be tugged either this way or this way. You know, it's going to be tugged different ways depending on where the bit is ahead of it, you know, and the little bar connecting it. So whatever the bit ahead of it is doing is going to be the first initial force on this. And it's going to be a force, a velocity, again, that's high enough to take it, you know, up here. And, you know, it's too much energy for the distance it has to travel. So it makes more distance. Makes sense. It goes this extra bit before it goes back down because it has to use up its going up energy. It can't not use the energy. It has the velocity. It has to use it. And all you can do is convert it into another direction. But it takes time to do that. So that's the arc being created. All right. So the bottom line is electric boom is right in that all the energy is coming from this. Okay, I mean, all the energy is coming from this thing, this event, going down. Well, they both would agree on that, I suppose. And all you're doing is reducing the losses of the system. That is, you're making higher velocity little bits by getting them airborne. Getting them airborne, pushing them into the position to launch them is more efficient than dragging them. And what else can you say? And it's just going to win in the sense that the little bits are going to just tend to get airborne. And as they tend to get airborne, then they're going to tend to lift. And as they're lifting, if they can push against something, that'll ensure that their mass doesn't go in the wrong direction, doesn't go lower, and therefore have to be lift higher. So they're gaining in a couple of ways by the greater efficiency of tilting something before you launch it, so to speak. Yeah. So it's not as much energy as the Steve Mole guy is saying. The reaction force isn't doing the lifting. It's just doing the positioning. So the reaction force is positioning, and then the other force is pulling. Pushing, technically. Okay, I'll go with that. All right, so anyway, so that's my contribution. I'm surprised there wasn't that many videos on the subject. So I did have to put it in quotes. So without quotes, this video didn't show up, which was interesting. So there's a Royal Society one. I haven't seen that one yet. So this is the two guys. Okay. That's Electric Boom's video. Then we got the Mold Effect. So this is another one. So at least putting it in quotes really to get more videos. So I haven't watched all of these. And then the subject gets all broken because it's YouTube and their search sucks. So the other guy's video doesn't show up at all. You know, the guy with 6 views. And so that's why it has 6 views, I guess, is because even though I have it in quotes and that's exactly how he titled his video. Yeah, it just shows how YouTube discriminates. Wait a minute. Search got longer. Anyway, so yeah, and then you see that this the Action Lab guy did this, and I didn't watch that video, so I guess I should watch that one and see what his explanation is. But it all turns into antics, right, in the end, you know. So that's the Mold guy again. That's Electric Boom. Right, so the other guy's video doesn't even show up here, even though he has it titled Chain Fountain. Yeah. So, the internet sucks. Run by Google. This is how Google search engine. So this is the search engine that's also running the internet. I mean, you know, YouTube search is basically Google search. And this is how they index the internet. So they don't care about anything really relevant. So they have all these other subjects are getting brought up, and I still haven't found the other guy's video. You know, that's pretty shitty. But if I take it out of quotes, his video will show up, which makes no sense at all. It's just terrible. Yeah, this is the way. All right, so I should go to this guy. Yeah, so he says right there, Chain Fountain. So you do a search on chain fountain and the video doesn't show up. And it just says chain fountain space dash regarding Steve Mould. So it's well titled, nice and explicit, and won't show up in the search. So that's why it got 6 views. Is because YouTube isn't gonna let anybody else see it. It just sucks. So anyway, it's Lima Victor. I don't know, not a great name, Victor. Lima Victor? Anyway, foreign guy, I guess. Anyway, so, yeah, I'll might as well play a little tiny bit of it.
The forces will be exactly equal in all directions.
Right, except you're not, see, that's the rotation. So the rotation is part of the inefficiency, right? So that's the part that's just, that's, the rotations are a loss. So it's like if I push a round sphere, I'm going to lose the velocity I'm putting into the object because part of the velocity is now created rotation. And if I want to collect the momentum, part of the momentum is in rotation. And so the rotation's going to hit, but it's going to be in directions that aren't going to push. You're going to push down. You know, if it's spinning this way, you can see, you know, it's going to spin the thing up. Or if it's spinning this way, it's going to spin the thing down. But it's not going to be converted into the force I'm trying to measure. So that sort of came up in the, you know, Stephen Bro thing. Converting part of the energy into rotation means that you're using part of your momentum to cause the rotation. So any place where you're rotating something, you have to see whether you're getting your energy back. In the case of the arc, you're getting your energy back pretty efficiently, so the rotation isn't costing you much. But in the case of rotating the little piece of crap, the little piece of the chain, in the case of rotating it, you're gaining a lot by stopping it from doing this shit. Okay? So the more wobble you can take out of it, because there is a surface that tilts it and then allows it to lift off, that's going to be more energy than if you allow it to wobble. You're going to lose a lot of your momentum if it's wobbling. So that would be my contribution in stating that having a surface for the thing to lift against is doing is eliminating this kind of waste. It's taking wobble out of the chain. By taking the wobble out, you've increased the forward momentum. You've increased the impact of the forward momentum because now more of the energy is actually going in that direction than doing this. So the energy isn't going in this direction and this direction, it's going in that direction because you use the ground to lift. Okay. Yeah, that's I'm satisfied with that. So we'll leave it there. I should play some of the Steve Mould video. I mean, you know, at the end he says something nice about how, oh, it's good to have these arguments because, you know, you learn things and blah, blah, blah. But they're impenetrable to these arguments. They avoid them, you know, like the plague. And so they do it when it's all fun, you know, and they're betting whatever, 10,000 pennies or some other bullshit. But, you know, they don't do it, they're selective in what challenges they'll accept, I guess is the simple argument. And the fact is that all these guys, Veritasium, Electric Boom, and this Steve Mould, I've offered big money to, and I haven't got even a response from them. So I'm offering them, you know, anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000, actually. And I can't even get a response from these assholes. So that sucks. So anyway. So I will call it a video. So this has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Till the next time and such.